They say about the Alter Mitzlobotka that when he used to give shmuzim, so he always used to look down at his fingernails when he spoke. And the Alter certainly was not a person who lacked in confidence. He had a very clear sense of himself. But when he was asked about that practice, he mentioned that he had such a sense of an emas hatzibur, such a sense of an awe of his tamidim and of the yeshiva. So whenever I speak here as well, it's that same feeling, that same emas hatzibur, not ema as far as fear, but just an enormous sense of affection, of respect for the Tamidim and this yeshiva, for the efforts that are made in growth and Talmud Torah, for the spirit that exists here. Thank you, David. And I stand here also with a feeling of a real humility, and I very much appreciate the few minutes from your Seder. You know, the tendency of man is when one chapter is done in their life, there's a feeling of just moving forward and moving on and on to the next thing and the next vista and the next accomplishment. And sometimes that's done almost at the expense of looking back and capturing the vestiges, capturing the nitzotzos, the past experiences of past stages of a person's life. Sometimes also when it comes to the Yomim Tovim, to the Yom Noraim, and to the month of Tishrei, we just move on. We move on already to the next man, and to the next class, and to the next chapter of a person's life. I want to spend a few minutes just reflecting on a thought I had the last few weeks in regards to looking back on Tishrei, looking back on these experiences. And sometimes the challenge of looking back on Tishrei is that it's not clear what the nekuda is or what the element of transformation was. If I tell you the month of Nisan, if I tell you Pesach, we understand very clearly that Pesach, and this is what many of the Mefarshim speak about, it's a transformation, b'chol dor v'dor chayv adam, liros, laharos, es atzmo, to really view themselves as free and everything that means. But we feel, when we go through that process properly, we feel transformed in a way. Our bitachon has been transformed. If you ask a person the transformation of Shavuos, and that sense of the hischachus of Talmud Torah, the sense of going through the experience of Har Sinai again, so we understand that. We understand the newness of that experience. But if I ask a person, what's the nekuda of transformation of Tishrei, the Yom Noraim? There's so many different themes, and there's such a broad discussion as to how each one of the Yomim Tovim, how Rosh Hashanah leads to Yom Kippur, how that leads to Sukkot, how all the days are interrelated, what should be the takeaway of that experience. It becomes almost confounding in a way. What now at the precipice of Cheshvan am I taking away from that experience? And of course we know that those days, the 3 days of Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur and Sukkot, that the Mefarshim discuss that they connect to each other, culminating in that feeling of simcha. And the Mefarshim discuss that in many, many different ways. Many Mefarshim discuss, of course, the sense of simcha that comes about on Sukkot through the process of slicha umechila, that sense of being lifnei Hashem, that sense of Ashreichem Yisrael, mimitar eschem, that sense of just that rejoicing of the feeling of a new chapter in life and a sense of cleanliness, a sense of just moving forward, being able to turn a page, that sense of new beginnings. That's certainly one very broad but very powerful theme of these days. I always think about Sukkot in a way that if the themes of Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Teshuva or being mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of din and shuva, to some degree in the world of the Beis Knesses and the world of the Beis Medrash. And the Sukkot is our opportunity to be mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the entire world, to sit in the natural world and to be cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to take the natural species of the Minim and to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the Ruchos of the world and the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is our connection with the natural world. And to be mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not necessarily just in the chambers of Din or in the halls of Beis Medrash or Beis Knesses, but mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol ha'olam, with every different means and every different species and every different element of the world. And that's perhaps the takeaway, that sense that in every corner of the world, we're mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I was thinking this year, and to please allow me to, I guess, share a struggle. I was thinking this year, perhaps along the same lines, but subtly different, of just a different hargasha and a different thought. And that thought is really based on the fact that for many years, I struggled personally to connect with the concept that Rosh Hashanah, and obviously this is clear through Chazal, that Rosh Hashanah is about being mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, melocha kol olam kulo b'chvodecha. And what does it mean in a person's tefillah? What does it mean in a person's avodah? What does it mean to be mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that feels very personal? We speak about the entire world accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We speak about the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence being accepted in the whole world. But how does that feel like it penetrates down to the inner nekuda of my own avoda, of my own religious consciousness? How does a person connect to that in tefillah, that concept of mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam? It feels so enormous. It feels like something so beyond sort of the sphere of any given person. And I was thinking, and of course this is obvious, but sometimes the most obvious ideas should be articulated, that the mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world really means each person themselves having a sense of the mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their own life. And what does it mean to be mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one's own life? What does it mean to coordinate God in one's own existence? So I think for me, and I'm sure for many people here, the person thinks about the fact that in their own life, our lives are built around expectations, my needs. I wanted that. I would have liked this. I expect that my child should get into this yeshiva. And I expect that I would have this job for the summer. And I really wanted this to work out. And I was disappointed by that. And I didn't get that job. And I didn't. It's a whole world built around my own expectations, my wants, in a very subtle way, the way that I perceive the way the world should be. And we never say it in egotistical ways. We never say it in arrogant ways. But subtly, that's the way we feel. We feel like this is the way that I would want my life to work out. I would like to get married before my senior year, and I wanted to have a job lined up by here, and then get this internship. And when none of these things work out, so what we find is the conflict between our will, our ratzon, our expectations, and the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, the reality of the world around us. And when a person lives with that gap between their will and the reality of the world, what finds its way into that gap is anger, resentments, depression, not functioning, a lack of happiness, disappointments, resentments, anger. It just, those things fester when a person lives their life based on, this is the way that I believe my life should have been. To mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real way means simply saying that this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me. Without any resentments, without disappointments, without a sense of regret, without a sense of I wish, without a sense of the constant hole of life not having gone in the way that I would have expected it would have. And when a person really feels that their will has become aligned with the Kaddish Baruch Hu's will, and a person feels that sense of a depth of connection with the Ratzon HaBorei, with the feeling of a person having a higher power or a spiritual force in their life, the result of that is a sense of enormous humility. That this is my life. And I accept it, and I want to grow within that, I want to elevate it, and I want to bring joy to people, and I want to bring light to the world based on what I've experienced. Last year I experienced, or I had a conversation with someone that demonstrated that sense of humility in a way that I'm not sure that myself or anybody in this room can duplicate and replicate. It's a boy from the yeshiva a couple years ago. He lost his sister. His sister was a teenage girl, 15, 16 years old. And I went to the yeshiva house and they were describing just what an exceptional, and there's certain people in this room who know the person in question, they were describing what their sister was like. They mentioned that their sister, in the last days, in the last weeks of her illness from cancer, she was speaking about the fact that she felt gratitude because now she really knows what it means to daven for another person. Now she knows what it means to feel for another person. Do you understand the godliness of what that means? A person who doesn't say, I wanted a certain type of life, and I wanted to get married, and I want, and those are all normal feelings, but this is my life, this is exactly where Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me, and how do I now elevate and embrace and bring light and connect and feel joy in the middle of that? When a person feels that sense of humility, when a person feels that sense of surrender, of bittul, the feeling is one of an unbelievable liberation. And if you think about sometimes being mevatel ourselves to one spouse, you go to someone else and you give a person an enormous affectionate hug, and at that moment, your own Dalet Amos becomes sort of melded into another person. And to some degree, your own individuality has melted away. But the joy of the moment of hearing a certain song or being in a certain type of place and allowing just one's own sort of self to melt away and to be in that moment, there's enormous joy. There's an enormous sense of liberation in that. And that's, to some degree, the joy and the simcha of Sukkot. The joy of the simcha of Sukkot is that a person can say that I'm leaving behind my home with my acquisitions and my expectations and my needs and things in my life that are not perfect, and I'm simply going to go into the Tzelet Dehemnusa. I'm going to align my will with the Ratzon Hashem. And to sit simply in the Sukkah with that sense of oneness with that spirit. There's a joy, there's a freedom, there's a liberation in those moments. I want to conclude, it's just a little bit early. If a person has a real sense of what spirituality is, this is not in any way an indictment on anybody of our fine Talmidim who went to Uman. Uman's a great place. It's not an indictment on anybody who feels that they sometimes want to get on a table and dance. That's also beautiful in many ways. But to some degree, that's an outer facade of what should be an internal experience. The internal experience of saying, let me just accept the Ratzon Hashem. Let me, on a daily basis, establish conscious contact with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Let me feel the presence in my life. It doesn't have to come with chuckling. It doesn't have to come. It just comes with that inner sense of peace, of that oneness and that union, and the joy that comes with that. And in a way, that's really the beauty of Cheshvan. Because a person can make a mistake that Avodas Hashem revolves around the Chagim, revolves around Simchas Torah, revolves around a Ne'ilah, revolves around this moment and this apex of that experience and this moment in time. But the real Avod Hashem just sits day in and day out, releasing the resentments, releasing expectations, feeling as though they're being mechavein libo with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, day in and day out, class in, class out, one interaction after another interaction, just simply saying, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed me. Let me embrace that. Let me grow within that. Let me feel liberated by that. Let me feel the joy of that moment. And there's some, if we can do that, we can take with us the nitzotzos of Rosh Hashanah that leads to the personal experience of tshuva and Yom Kippur, that leads to that enormous sense of simcha, the simcha yisera that the Rambam discusses of Sukkos. If we can do that, we can find lives of real joy, real meaning, real elevation, real light, and most importantly, a depth of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows us to go through our life with simcha, with tmimus, with ahava, and with tremendous growth. Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful zman. And just personally, on behalf of myself, the other mashgichim, the rebbeim, if in any way, any capacity, we can be here to allow for that growth in all sorts of ways, by all means, feel free to reach out to us. Thank you.